children grades 3 and under. If you'd like, you may go to children's church. And as they do, I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, reading verses 29 through 39. The Pew Bible, it's on page 867. Mark 1, 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Back in the day, there was a popular song that in part went to, "Come with me, I'm the Pied Piper, can't you see? I'm the Pied Piper, and I'll show you where it's at." Well, the title today is "Come Along With Me." And when I read this scripture and thought about that, I know it surprises you, that 70s song came into my head. But rather than being a Pied Piper that could lead people in wrong directions, Jesus comes and he offers opportunities for folks to follow him, to come along with him, but to do what? To simply walk along and observe? No. But to come along with him, observe, and then do the same things that he did. And so, just as we, in those times when that song came along, and we heard that song, presumed that at least the folks who would hear it and would follow that particular group, and I think they were one of those one-hit wonders, if I remember correctly, the presumption was that we were looking for something that would make life better, make life more meaningful, make life happier. And who doesn't want life to be those things? The singers in that song said that they could show you where and how to find that happiness for yourself. Come with me and I'll show you where it's at. Well, that's not unlike what we face, and that's not unlike what people faced in Jesus' day either, as they were looking to find out just where it's at. That is happiness and meaning and purpose in life. Many today are looking for the quickest, easiest fix, though, are they not? Perhaps not even thinking about following Jesus. At the union service, this past one, we talked a little bit about whether we had really decided to follow Jesus or not, and what that might mean. That message was actually written before this one was, but only by a few days. And so if you were there that night, you're getting a slightly different view, but the same basic idea and the same basic message. But that doesn't mean tune out or turn off. Many today are looking for those simplistic ways, those ways to get what they want, to get their ticket to heaven. They pull it out and look at it every so often. that ticket to heaven, dusting off their Bible. They sometimes come in the doors of the church, oftentimes when there's a crisis in their lives, or if they've committed a sin which in retrospect begins to worry them for a few moments. Well, maybe I really shouldn't have done that after all. I wonder if I can get forgiven quickly enough. Now, I'm not going to judge or belittle any decision for Jesus. But I do want to spend a few moments today exploring just what Jesus meant when He called His disciples and when He calls us as disciples today and says, come along with me. Come along with me. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus calls several different persons to come with Him, to follow Him as disciples. And they leave their boats, their priorities, their livelihood to follow. As they go along with Jesus, they experience some of the early excitement. I want to ask you for a moment, think back to when perhaps you made a profession of faith for the first time. And maybe you were brought up in the church and you really didn't do all those many terrible kinds of sins. But maybe you came forward during vacation Bible school, or there was an RA or GA gathering. Or perhaps you were somewhere at a crusade and all these folks started going forward and you didn't realize they were the counselors that were moving forward first. And so you followed as well. And you had that little bit of excitement within your heart. Well, these disciples experienced some of that excitement. If we were to read earlier in the chapter, we would find that just before this incident with Peter's mother-in-law and the other folks, they're in the synagogue, and it's standing room only. And Jesus casts a demon out of a man. Exciting stuff. And they're along with Him. They've come along for the ride. These experiences helped also to bring Jesus some pretty quick fame. I guess in some ways, if we were to update the terminology, they could also be, in the early stage, Jesus groupies. They were following along to see what was going to happen next. They were following along as part of the excitement. They were following along caught up in the fame that Jesus was beginning to attain. Simon Peter was especially happy in the early part of this. As they get to the house, his mother-in-law is sick. They tell Jesus about it, and Jesus heals her so that she can get up and fix dinner. Or at least serve them, the text says. As the sun sets, supper has been eaten. They, both the crowds and the disciples, actually, bring to Jesus scads of people. I know the text didn't say scads of people, but they brought a whole lot of folks from all over the place. People who were sick. People who were possessed. The crowds were so large, standing room only, not only in the house, but outside the house. And everywhere you looked, you could see people standing, waiting, watching, anticipating what might happen next. And Jesus heals many. He casts demons out of many. And so all the excitement is there until the final person that He heals for the evening, or the final demon He sends out into the darkness. And then the crowds begin to wander off. As the crowds wane and the disciples and Jesus prepare to go to sleep, that electricity is now gone. Early the next morning, Jesus gets up before everybody else, gets up in the dark, and the first thing He does is to go out and pray. And as He is praying, we find that Peter and his companions, not only the disciples, Andrew, James, and John, but probably a few other stragglers that had perhaps come back to see what Jesus was going to do as an encore at breakfast. They begin looking for Jesus and they can't find him. And then finally, somehow they figure out where he is. Don't know if they had a tracker and they were following his tracks in the dirt, or if somebody just said, well, you know, maybe he went over here or maybe he went over there. But the text says that they searched for him. They pursued him. To pursue here means to search diligently to find Jesus. And when they find him, they say, everybody's looking for you. Come on back. Come along with us. But Jesus says, no. Come along with me. For right now, my duty is done here. Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach. For that's why I came. And that's why I came out at this time. To preach the good news. So come along with me. They follow. But they're probably wondering some about what they're to be about. The expectations for being on mission with Jesus hadn't really hit them yet. But as they go on to the next towns and the next towns and the next towns throughout the gospel, they find more healings. They find more casting out of demons. But in the middle of it all, they find compassion. They find care. They find Jesus going out with the authority, not... Y'all gave me a really good prop last night. Not this kind of authority, to rule and to reign, but the authority to serve. The authority to serve. Many of us have said, and the other week at the union service began to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Well, they joined me in the song over there anyway. And some of y'all did too. But we sing that. And we say that we have decided to go. When he asked us to come along with him, probably we sang Just As I Am. Or maybe we came down on I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. We may not have fully understood. I'm not going to ask how many people made that decision as a young as a child or a young teenager, or maybe even as an adult when we made that decision. We really didn't understand what was meant. But I would submit to you that here, in this brief section, we find out what it means to come along with Jesus so that he can show us where it's at. He tells us not only to go, but he tells us to preach. That is, to tell, to proclaim to others the good news of God's kingdom. So when Jesus says, come along with me, it's not just to come along to sit and observe. It's to come along so that we too can learn to tell others and so that we have opportunities to do that. When Jesus says, go, he's also telling us to go in certain ways. And we find here in this short passage something of what it means to come along with Jesus and to go in his name. First of all, we go with compassion. When we go to deal with other people in our neighborhood, in our families, at our schools, or maybe sometimes within the walls of this building, Jesus calls us to go with compassion. Jesus ministered through the towns. And he said, I'm going on to the next town and the next town and the next town. But what did he do in that first town? He ministered with compassion and he sought to reach out to any and all who came to him. He preached the good news of God's kingdom. He healed diseases. He met physical and spiritual needs with compassion. but he also met those spiritual and physical needs because he had compassion. We can't give anything we don't have. And so that means that among other things, to come along with Jesus, to follow him, is not only to go with compassion, but to develop our compassion for others. We begin around us with family first, and then we move out. Our Christian family, in our church, in our neighborhood, at school, at work, or even at play. Jesus saw people through a particular set of lenses of compassion. And so if we come along with Jesus, we need to see each other through the eyes of Jesus, praying for each other, treating each other with compassion and with respect. Notice Jesus didn't just go to the self-righteous or even to the religious leadership to treat them with respect. He found a way even to treat the demon-possessed with compassion and respect. Come along with me, Jesus says, and be compassionate. We also go in Jesus' authority. Jesus gave his disciples, and not just those 12, but each and every one who follow him, he gives us a commission to go with authority. But that doesn't mean this kind of authority. What that means is that we're not authoritarian. Jesus gives us the authority we need to share the message of redemption and reconciliation. Not only with those who are lost, but also with those who are harassed by life, who are harassed in life, or who themselves have come to a point where they do not see themselves as worthwhile. We might not be able to drive out what we think of as evil spirits or miraculously heal physical illnesses, but we can help each other with the demons that we create. We can help each other to heal emotional hurts which we might cause. Jesus gives us authority. He says, come along with me and you will have authority to lovingly, respectfully serve and heal each other. Come along with me. We also find that when he asks us to come along, it's not just to meander and to wander. Although sometimes meandering and wandering is not a bad thing. Just like that old word that people don't use a whole lot and a lot of folks have forgotten. Maybe even some of us in this room have forgotten that old word, piddle. Ann Payton gave me an article recently about the art of piddling. And sometimes we do need to piddle, but Jesus didn't call us just to go around and constantly wander and piddle. Jesus said, come along with me and go with a task. A task to share the good news of salvation with those who have not heard it, with those who have not come to accept it. Of course. But we also go with a task to rejoice and to have real fellowship with those who are part of God's kingdom, the church. Sometimes we might be afraid of rejection by the demons, but some of the fear is the fear of admitting perhaps that we're wrong, or that we've treated someone wrongly or without respect. Jesus says part of our task is not only to come with compassion, but to right those wrongs. And he says, I will give you true humility and the fortitude for the task. William Lawson writes of Jesus' call to come along with me, and our response to go along as follows, and I quote, what he does, we are to emulate. If he is the light of the world, he expects us to be the light of the world. He performs great deeds before us and challenges us to do great deeds. He stoops to wash the feet of the disciples and challenges them to wash one another's feet as He has done for them. If there is hunger, we must provide food. If there is sickness, we must bring healing. For a man is in despair, we must speak a word of hope. Wherever injustice oppresses the weak or aggrandizes the powerful, we must be the voice of the weak and the good, and the goad in the side of the merciless. All the cathedrals in the world, and millions flocking to them to thunder anthems of praise to the God of hosts, and I would add, or the hands rocking in the big box church, will not please Him as much as a cup of cold water given by a child of God who knows the misery of thirst. I'll read that last statement again, minus my editorial edition. All the cathedrals in the world and millions flocking to them to thunder anthems of praise to the God of hosts will not please Him as much as a cup of cold water given by a child of God who knows the misery of thirst. When we agree to come along with Jesus, we're not just coming along for the excitement. When we agree to come along with Jesus, we're coming along for the entire journey. When Jesus says, "Come along with me," His desire, His will is not just that we go to the others first. We must be transformed individually and corporately before we can hope to help others and bring them along. In a newsletter I got the other day, and I posted a few of these around, but there was a brief article about transforming ourselves and transforming our churches. And the author of this said, we should be living out transformation in three areas. First, to see churches transformed into centers of vibrant spiritual health. And then he goes on to say, should this not be the norm? Spiritual health instead of conflict, strife, power issues, and other things which Satan loves to see us contending. Our churches should be places of comfort, joy, encouragement, hope, help, inclusion, acceptance, repentance, and forgiveness, and where worship is practiced in spirit and in truth. When Jesus calls us and says, "Come along with me," He is calling us to go with compassion, to go with the authority to serve, to go with a task of helping to heal, helping to bring others along, so that those who truly hear and who follow are there for the entire journey. Come along with me, He says, and find riches untold in serving your fellow man. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunities that we have not only to hear Your call, but to respond to that call. Most of us have agreed at some point in our lives to come along with You, to follow You wherever You may lead. As we do so, give us more compassion. Give us more of a sense of service. Give us the assurance that You are with us in the task of healing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn before we come to table is 605, Living for Jesus. As we stand and sing, our altar is open for any decision that one might make. Hymn number 605.